Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Kieran Mozaria joins us now. He's in charge of Cadence Minerals. There was an interesting announcement out from the company on the 10th of June. Kieran, welcome to Vox Markets. Good to be speaking to you.
Yeah, good to be speaking to you, Alistair.
Tell us about this announcement, iron ore.
Yeah, so this announcement is in essence about our flagship investment, which is the Amapa iron ore project. And we've been working on a while, and we've been very much focused in the tail end of last year of delivering a high quality product so that in a pre-feasibility format, so we could increase the NPV. And this year has been really about focusing on getting the licenses or the installation licenses to be able to construct the asset subject to financing. And also the other aspect we looked at and are furthering is the idea of a stage development strategy. So what we are in the process of at the moment doing, you know, the original plan is to produce 5.5 million tons of iron ore per year, high grade, what they call DR grade, but that requires a substantial capital investment of $400 million. And we have to understand that we're a small company and you know, therefore, how can we both create early revenue and create traction in the market? And one of those ideas is effectively to do a stage development. So what we have is, although we have this very large project with good product, it's a large cap. And so what we're looking at now is trying to develop a much smaller production within the reaches of a smaller company to produce from. And that would be utilizing already established infrastructure. And in fact, we've identified an old part of the plant that would be covered under the current mining license that could be recommissioned and would reprocess a stream that came off what we call the froth flotation plant or the reverse float plant, which has a relatively high grade, i.e. about 56% iron. And that could be upgraded to, we believe, between 63 and 65% iron ore. So that is one of the things that we've been doing over the last 6 months. That's doing the engineering studies around that, doing the sort of mass recoveries, metallurgical recoveries, which have been done to level of a scoping study. Once we finalize that, we intend to announce what those margins were going to look like, what production is going to look like, what the CapEx is going to look like. I mean, the CapEx is probably going to be two orders of, well, 1.5 to 1.9 orders of magnitude less than the current CapEx, but also the production will be lower as well. So it's an exciting project. It's very, the processing is very simple, and that's what, you know, sort of the prima facie part of this announcement was. So the next part of the announcement was in essence the licensing, and last year it was disappointing. We had certainly had the expectation from the Amapa government in terms of when the licenses would be granted. And these are the installation licenses for the mine, the rail, and the port. And unfortunately, possibly due to their workload, they had effectively, they asked for additional aspects in terms of licensing. The first was an archaeological study. Although we've already identified the archaeological sites there, which none of it interfere with our 15-year mine life. They wanted an updated one, or they wanted IFUN, which is the federal site, to update it. That study would take around 2 to 3 months and about 2 months for approval as soon as we start it. And that is really the biggest impediment to getting the installation license. And once we and that sort of feeds in with the small plant. So once we get the installation license, we could in fact start that small plant. Again, we would look for a finance advance for that. And yeah, so that's what we're doing on the licenses. The railway license is nearly there. It's really asking for some sort of what they call anuenses, which are permissions from local authorities, which are forthcoming. And the port license, we expect to take a bit longer, as I said in the end, in the announcement, in essence, because we had to do a longer environmental background study. But they're progressing well. The government is fully supportive of what we're trying to do. They're aware of this stage development plan, again, fully supportive. And we just need to push hard and try and get these done as quick as possible. Again, once we see progress and have a definitive timeline or it gets granted, we'll update the market. And you know, those are the two sort of operational sides. And I suppose the last point has been, you know, we've always expressed a strategy that to develop this asset, ultimately, it's not just going to be us. We're either going to have a JV partner or someone will acquire us out. I certainly think that at the moment, JV partner is probably a more likely outcome, just because fundamentally what we're seeing and what we saw, you know, subsequent to the end of December, when we published that we were able to produce a DR grade or a high grade material, is that we saw a renewed interest in the market in this project. And that's also what we've been doing over the last 6 months, which is effectively carrying out site visits, carrying out you know, reviewing the data room, providing answers to detailed due diligence questions, which is, you know, we have a small team and that's what we've been doing. So it's been a busy 6 months, although probably the RNS doesn't communicate how busy, but it's been a very busy 6 months for us. And positive. And I think beginning of this year is when we said, well, we can't all just be reliant on waiting for licenses. Let's be positive. Let's look at a way that we can develop this quicker, although not to the large sort of initially, not to the large sort of 5.5 million tons a year. Maybe something smaller within a budget, sort of, and then look at marginal gains as we see if we can increase that production a bit and move forward.
So you've talked about your sort of near-term objectives there. What about the broader aspiration in terms of timeline to production, Kieran? I mean, do you have anything in mind about when you'd like to get this project into production? Speaking generally, I understand there are various variables that may not be predictable at this point, but what's your aspiration?
Well, the obvious expression this is down well as soon as possible is always the answer. But the practicalities of particularly in this case, financing for a large project will be our constraints in that regard. And of course, if we have a JV partner, what would they like to do? And that they could want to bring it into production as soon as possible, not do a definitive feasibility study, take the pre-feasibility study as is, and then bring it into production. So theoretically, if you went down that route, so go from pre-feasibility study directly to detailed engineering. So in that case, that would take you know, with a partner fully financed, that would be a, you know, 2-year process to bring it into production at 5.5 million tons. That's typical, and you know, that's no different to someone else. But of course, a JV partner might say, well, actually, I want to expand the resource quite considerably. I want to have 600 million tons of potential resources because we want this to be a 25-year mine life. And then those priorities would then mean further drilling. We may want a DFS. So we're going to be guided by those principles. Of course, if there was a sale, that wouldn't really matter to us. But, you know, because it's a brownfield asset, because it has an integrated mine and port and rail and mine, port and railway, and the engineering is well known, and, you know, we've had commentaries from, for example, on the processing plant and the railway that the engineering is almost a DFS standard as it is now. But we always have to go to the lowest order of magnitude, so the lowest order, so past the study of PFS, so we call the whole thing a pre-feasibility study. So it's a bit of an open, it's a bit of an open answer, but in essence, you're talking large project, that's going to be determined about financing fundamentally. And in terms of a smaller project, I think that's the licensing timeline. And I think I'm reticent right at the moment just to give a definitive timeline, but to bring that small plant into production will be much, much shorter. Because we've already done the work, we know where we're going to extract it from. And it's not a complex plant. It is literally effectively some screens, a magnetic separator, and some spirals, which are already installed. We would have to refurbish them. And that's much shorter than effectively redesigning and putting in new ball mills, putting in new magnetic separators for the larger part. So it is simpler, so it'll take much shorter period of time.
So you talked about the grades a moment ago, quite attractive grades, really, or very attractive grades in the iron ore space that you've got there. What else can you say about the implications for margin that you didn't say a minute ago? Because it seems like you could have some very attractive numbers when you do release them.
Yeah, so when we redid based on the ability from us to produce the 67.5% material, which we utilized the representative sample from previous product, and effectively that allowed us to produce a DR grade, which is a 67.5% with less than 2% silica and alumina, which is sort of that's where it's defined as. And on our presentations, you've got to see where we sit in that block. Now, that adds a premium. So we used a third part, well, we used a third party's DFS report, and we took that price to be around $145 a ton, as opposed to at the time, it was around $100 to $110 for a 62% concentrate, which is the sort of benchmark. So that increase in price, that increase in margin, mean that effectively we were delivering the product to China at around the sort of $62 a ton, and getting the price of $145 a ton, as opposed to delivering it for around $60 a ton. And getting them 100, and let's call it, I think we used in our actual previous PFS $118 a ton. So there was a increase in margin because of the product, and we kept our costs down, kept our CapEx roughly the same, and therefore that increased our internal rates of return, and in particular increased the NPV very dramatically from just under $1 billion to a just under $2 billion, so 1.977. So it was an almost $1 billion increase. It shortened our mine life slightly, but ultimately that was the change. It was adding a ball mill, adding a HPGR crusher, and basically crushing it much finer, which liberated more iron. It decreased the mass recovery, hence the shorter mine life. But in essence, it was an overall net benefit to the project.
So lots to be positive about then regarding AMAPA. Tell us a bit about the broader context in which AMAPA sits inside Cadence and perhaps the context in which Cadence sits in the wider market. How do you see the positioning of Cadence? What else is going on? And what do you see the market responding to?
Yeah, ultimately, so that's, in terms of what is a matter to Cadence, it's ultimately its primary asset. If you look at our balance sheet, it now represents 90% of our balance sheet. And that's because effectively the investments we've made in other projects, we've exited and reinvested those funds, largely reinvested those funds back into a matter. And that's where we've put around the $14 million of that money plus money that we've raised from the markets. That $14 million for a pre-feat for around the 35%, the market's not even valuing that. The market's not valuing us at $14 million. And I suppose that's due to partly the market malaise, some delays in licensing, which has probably left shareholders disappointed with the return. But nonetheless, the fundamentals are there. The fundamentals, it is a good asset. We have taken this from effectively a distraught asset that was going through bankruptcy, took it out of the bankruptcy, restructured it, did all the work to bring the tailings dams into compliance, did all the pre-feasibility work, did all the additional improvements during last year, got effective exemptions so that we get shorter licensing times. All of that takes a lot of effort and time and money, and that's what we've done. I'm very proud of the team that and what Cadence's involvement in getting that done. Admittedly, it hasn't been reflected in the share price. So, and I think that's probably, in essence, to do with the gap in the market capitalization versus the CapEx required to develop it. So what we need to do is, and that's what we've been doing in the last year, is firstly, bring in partners that are able to do that, particularly in relation to, it's not necessarily the ability of raising the capital, it's more the fact that we don't have the balance sheet, for example, to offer guarantees on debt. So it's to bring in a partner that has that balance sheet to offer the guarantees on debt or sell it effectively. But in the interim, let's go for the smaller plant. That will show that we're able to operate in country. It will provide revenue and profit for the project, which then can fund itself. And for the market, then also show the ability to operate in that environment, albeit at a much smaller scale. It is showing turnover, it's showing revenue, showing profit. And that's what it looks like it's going to do. And it doesn't impact the overall, it is still a 1.9 billion asset because ultimately we are basically reprocessing some feed that is has already been mined. So it doesn't impact resource. The small plant is doesn't and refurbishment doesn't impact any of the other circuits. So it's a project on its own. So I hope that becomes a catalyst for the increases in share price.
So finally, Kieran, let's talk a little bit about iron ore. You're obviously operating in a sort of global context, and iron ore has been a commodity that hasn't been much talked about, in the last couple of years generally. How does the iron ore market look to you, and what's the opportunity here?
So overall, when we look at the iron ore, we look at 2008, 2012, and there was a massive infrastructure boom in China. And that drove iron ore prices to very high levels and obviously unsustainable levels. We're now at a place where we see still the need for iron ore around the world generally, and we're seeing it more and more in places like India, and less in China. So the overall forecast is there's a movement in the requirement of iron ore, and probably a relatively static iron ore demand curve. The supply curves are coming on, so we've got Simandou. So what we will probably see is overall lower grade material. There'll be a larger gap between the lower grade and the higher grade material. So 58% on that's DSO from wherever will start fetching lower and larger discounts to the 62 plastic position. So our view, and but we also see that DR grade is becoming more of a driver, first of all, because it's got higher iron ore content, so lower energy lower energy costs associated with it. But secondly, DR grade allows you to use gas-fired smelters, and we can obviously often it often gets mixed with scrap iron to produce alpha steel. So there is a lower cost, and of course, the net sort of holy grail is then okay, can we then have sort of green steel where effectively the smelters are run on hydrogen produced from effectively from effectively water, so effectively breaking up water to convert hydrogen and oxygen. That's I think a bit further away, but there is this demand, and we're seeing it from the larger players in the market that they are looking at higher grade material, and hence Subsequent to our publication about in relation to the ability to produce this DR-grade material, we are seeing a very interesting project.
So to close us out, Kieran, perhaps you could just tell us what investors should expect from Cadence over the course of the rest of the year.
I think I've hopefully telegraphed that reasonably well in the announcement, where effectively we would be looking to update the market on the licensing. That is progressing down the various studies to achieve those. That means, in essence, if you've got installation maintenance for the mine, if you have the money, you can start to build it. I would then say the other side, which is probably might be a bit more interest to shareholders as well, is this fleshing out the stage development, defining those CapEx numbers, OpEx and profits and returns, what that's going to look like, what's that timeline going to look like. And those are two, they're interlinked because the mining license is required to start the construction of that small park. So those will be the two, I think, catalysts, I hope, for share price movement and positive movement. And then, of course, the longer churn and longer time, just because it does take, will be any long-term joint venture, but that's always going on in the background. And if there's anything that progresses, then we'll announce that. But yeah, so those two things for me are the probably our focus for the rest. I've also probably they're definitively our focus for the next half year. And once we get clear timelines, clear routes to financing, that's where we'll then further inform the market.
Well, we look forward to watching your progress. Thanks for talking to us today, Kieran.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.